The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, this is Winners and Sinners when we look back on the week that was, but with a few twists. We're delighted to be joined by our regulars Off the Balls, Ger Gilroy, and Today FM's Alison Curtis. Alison, I might start with you first. Your winner of the week
is the weather.
Yay.
For a change. It's going to be hotter than parts of other parts of Europe this weekend. I think we're going to be getting the best in the east, up to 21 degrees tomorrow, which is amazing. And yeah, 16 degrees, 17 degrees, 20 degrees, all the averages, very little rain, according to Met Aaron. So it's going to be good.
It's been a long, cold, lonely winter, hasn't it?
I was actually talking to my neighbours, because we do that. We go inside when the weather is obviously bad. You're not hanging out and chatting and just seeing people. I was like, oh yeah, you guys.
You exist. And I forgot about you.
And they're just so, like, everyone's mood is just so much better and you feel lighter. And I've said this before on the show, I don't think I've ever really been affected by weather the way I was this past year. And it was just because it was constant. I can handle cold, being Canadian, but just the constant wet.
That period of about 4 weeks where it seemed to rain nonstop, I can never remember. I don't ever remember anything like that ever before.
I know. So I think this is the lift that we all need. So sun factor, guys, as well, though, right?
Yes.
SPF everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Are Canadians better at that than Irish people?
Yeah, definitely. I think so,
Irish people are not good at that. We were talking about this in the... I don't know how we got talking about it, but the question went around, would you go in the nice weather to a beer garden for a pint on your own?
Oh.
Would you?
Do you know what? That's funny. I've done...
What? Of course.
I know your answer, Ger Gilroy.
I've never done that. I've had coffees on my own.
Is it still more difficult for a woman, do you think, than a man to do that?
Well, it was funny. And actually, I did talk about this with a friend who was over from London this past weekend. It took me a long time to get to being... this is okay to be by yourself and on your own. I remember I traveled Europe before I came here and my friend's like, all right, I'm off, I'll see you. And I was like, what? Like, and we were, when we moved here, I was 24. So we were 23, started in Sweden. And I was just like, where are you going? And she's like, I'm just going to go for the day. I'll see you later. I was like, but are we not meant to do everything together? And she's like, no, like enjoy your own company. So that was the first time. And I was like, sat there going, I guess this is in pre-phones, like pre-scrolling. Yeah. So, but I haven't done a beer on my own.
Never?
No, I don't think so. No. Yeah.
Sure.
What?
A beer on a newspaper?
Or a
digital newspaper.
The difficulty is it's your phone, right? So you can easily just be on your phone the whole time. But like, it's very nice to... I had lunch on my own recently.
Mm-hmm. I've eaten on my own.
It was amazing. It felt like I'd been on holidays.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah.
And were you reading or were you, what did you?
I only had the phone, but I had no glasses, so I wasn't particularly good at it. So I was like, actually put it down for a while and imagine being alone with your thoughts. It is terrifying. I'm not going to lie.
The good weather makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think I definitely came in on Monday with aches and pains because we'd overdone it in the back garden and had a barbecue that night. It was like, we're going to jam this whole thing in, make it look good straight away and have a barbecue, even if it's like 9 o'clock before we got to eat. So I haven't quite been able to lift my left arm over because I was doing the streaming. I thought it was amazing. Yeah. It like totally transforms everything. You see bugs, you forget that we have flies in this country. Not very enjoyable, but you know, it's all part of the circle of life.
Yeah.
And obviously it's, you know, championship has started kicking off and I know it kicked off in the last couple of weeks, but it's kind of championship weather, isn't it?
Yeah, and it hadn't been up to that point. The pitches were mucky and slow and
so
the ball wasn't flying.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden it looks like we're back.
So do you do a summer wardrobe, winter wardrobe?
Well, because I have very few clothes, because I decided to do like a minimalist wardrobe a few years ago. No, it's more jackets, isn't it? So like, is there anything more satisfying than those like vacuum? You're like, put that big puffer thing away,
suck the air out of it.
And up to the attic. So I would do that kind of stuff and get rid of those kind of things. But okay. I don't really have a switch in, switch out kind of thing.
Ger, winter, summer wardrobe, because it's all I do.
That's very summery. I know this is radio, sorry, but what Jer is wearing is quite summery.
I recently, I didn't realize it was going to be a confession period, but I recently got slightly mildly addicted to one of those auction sites where you buy clothes It's called Katowicki, and whatever the dopamine works there, it's kind of like my early addictions to Twitter and Instagram. Mm. And so now I'm like bidding on, and I ended up accidentally buying a lot of coats, which turned out to be summer weight, and I thought they were winter weight, but now, you know, they're going to come into their own in the next few months. And I'm rationalizing it as like, I'm not going to buy any new clothes for the environment. I'm just going to buy vintage stuff.
I'm just going to buy tons of vintage stuff.
I think that works.
I have one with me.
Oh yeah, I like it. Very nice.
It's a good colour. I know this is
it's
radio
like
again.
It is definitely a summer kind of, like a bit more than a Mac, a bit warmer than a Mac, but a Mac kind of style or vibe.
Come dig us
on. But you have you switch out.
I do, twice a year I switch between wardrobes.
Do you?
Yeah. And it's always tricky to know when to do it because, you know, if you do it too early, then you're bloody freezing.
Mm.
If you do it too late, then you're walking around your window.
And are you delighted when everything just still fits perfectly?
Well, I always forget what I have.
It's just like new clothes.
My wife does an impression of me going, oh yeah, which I say about 50 times when I'm taking things out. So
it's a small order then, is it? I was going to say, you do this twice. Is this actually, because there's different styles. There's the many faces of Shane Coleman, surely.
Yeah. Well, there's certain things you have all year round, obviously, like as Alison said. But I would, there'd be a good few clothes that would go up now. I'll probably need it another couple of weeks, I think.
But what about the different eras? I'm thinking of the Don Draper era. You're in a study,
that was a golden era, wasn't it?
Did you
it
have
was
a amazing. Don Draper?
Oh, I was completely influenced by Mad Men. Completely.
Oh, it's the best TV show ever.
Yeah. You don't remember the Suits. He was the best dressed man in Ireland for about 5 years.
And then it all went horribly wrong.
I wasn't paying enough attention.
Anyway, moving on. Jer, give us your winner of the week.
We had a man called Lee Cronin in studio earlier in the week for his You Had to Be There. We do this thing where we ask people to come in and talk about five sports events that they really enjoyed being in that had some kind of meaning for them. But before we get the list, we always talk to them about what's going on in their lives. And he's just had a premiere of a movie which is called Lee Cronin's The Mummy. I had to say, in research for this, was the first time I'd actually kind of come across his work, because whenever we started having kids, I found I couldn't watch horror movies anymore. But he has become one of the defining horror directors in the world, having had a number of back-to-back successes. There was one of the franchise movies, I'm going to get it wrong now, Fear of the Living Dead, Night of the Living Dead, one of those Living Dead movies he made. And then there was another one that made $150 million for Warner Brothers. So he's got this deal with Warner Brothers where any ideas he comes up, they get first look, and they've made
Evil
this
Dead
one.
Rise.
Evil
was
Dead. Evil Dead.
Yeah, and he did Evil Dead Rise.
And so this one is called Lee Cronin's The Mummy. And you know, like, John Carpenter had his name in the movie title, but there's not a whole heap of others who actually get their name in the title when you scroll through. It's like, so he came
in. That suggests, the fact he's able to put his name in the title suggests he is a big deal in Hollywood.
Yeah, he's like early to mid 40s. I would say he's walking around the office here and nobody has an idea. It's one of those stories where you find out that actually the rest of the world has woken up to somebody Irish and Ireland hasn't quite caught up just yet. So you wouldn't be terribly surprised if he was on the late in the next few weeks when everybody realizes, like, it's the third highest grossing movie in the world.
When their
at the
researchers
moment.
Have heard off the ball, then
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's how it works for me anyway.
Behind Super Mario Brothers and Hail Mary, and you're like, what's that? It's not a bad opening. He's already ahead of loads of movies that you would have heard of this year in terms of the opening. So, but he was just this fascinating force of nature who was mad into movies from the time he was a kid, worked in Extravision and Scaries, and now lives in Wicklow and spends a lot of time in Hollywood and LA, and like has one of those proper Hollywood lifestyles when he's there, and then comes back and lives the quiet life writing and shoots the stuff in Ardmore in Ireland. So the vast majority of the movie was shot here.
No way.
Yeah. So like,
amazing.
You know, really at the forefront of the Irish film industry and totally, I would reckon, largely unknown outside of maybe outside of horror movie circles.
Amazing. I must ask my son. My son's a big horror movie fan and a big movie fan. I must ask him about him. So he was in talking about, would you?
We had this segment called You Had to Be There, where we get people who are either sports people or journalists, or it turns out now movie directors, talking about their five favourite sports events or five sports events that really moved them that they were at.
And can I ask, was there one of his that stood out?
He's a Liverpool fan, so had like a one of those. Am I getting this right now? Yeah, he's a Liverpool fan, so there was a performance where the first time he went to Anfield, they won, and We did two back-to-back. So the trouble is that the next day somebody did Man United. So he did a Liverpool one and the Liverpool team was terrible. It was the end of the Julia era. And you know that bit where you actually get to go to this thing that you've had your entire life dreaming about and the experience lived up to it. I'm not doing justice to that at all. He tells it much better. Cause he's
Would you be able to do your top five? Sorry.
Off the top of my head. So we did one, so I was at the Olympics last year and it was mind-blowing. I'd say last year, but it was actually 2 years ago now. Time flies. But there was a day where I was at like the 100 metres and the American basketball team and somebody Irish won a medal. You're like...
It's just next level, yeah.
Yeah. But top five of all time.
That's a good one. I mean, there's so many games. So many games. But the one that always sticks in my head is Ireland won the Netherlands 0 in when we qualified for the 2002 World Cup. And I just remember I walked the whole way home from the Aviva to Phibsborough and I just had a smile on my face the whole way home because it was a game we were not expected to win. We got dominated for 60 minutes.
Man sent off.
And it was just the ultimate against the odds. And it was a magic. It was a beautiful day, actually. I remember it was a day a little bit like this.
Yeah.
And it was a magic day. That kind of stays in my mind, I have to say.
The reason I'm an Aston Villa fan is because I saw Paul McGrath play for Villa against Spurs. When I was about 14, we went over and it was my first ever game and Gary Lineker was playing but got subbed off and Villa won. And from that point forward, if Paul McGrath told me to walk into a fire, I would do it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I should mention walking to Croke Park with Nafina on All-Ireland Club Hurling Day. That was pretty special as well with all these people, all your neighbours. And
do you think if you hadn't won, it would be the same? Like it's one of those bits that... It all adds up because the results.
Like we lost the Leinster final the previous year and we walked to Croke Park and it was still pretty special.
Yeah, okay.
But obviously...
Definitely helps.
Obviously the fact we
then
won...
we walked home with the cup.
We walked home with the cup. That was... That was a pretty amazing weekend. Okay, we will take a break there. Alison Jure are staying with us back in a moment on the Hard Shoulder. Okay, you're listening to The Hard Shoulder. It's Winners and Sinners with Ger Gilroy and Alison Curtis. Ger, let's talk about your sinner of the week.
So the outcry this week around sport was the €499 price of the tickets for the Ryder Cup. The ballot opens on the 3rd of June when fans can apply for daily general admission tickets and it's £500 essentially if you want to go on the Friday, the Saturday or the Sunday. If you want access all week, it's £2,000. It's £89 for the practice days. I think the opening ceremony is also some kind of weird, crazy price as well. This is in Adair Manor in Limerick next year. And it kind of struck me as really interesting that there was this conversation that happened on the airwaves right across the country. People, you know, are very upset about it. The sports fans on our show were kind of like, that's kind of what it is these days.
Yeah.
Almost like there was an acceptance of it. And I'm not sure, had we been broken down by constant like gouging that we just come to accept as normal and the rest of the public are like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? You need to kick up about this. Or are they just like, no, that's what the price of everything is now. And I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm a little on the fence as well because, I mean, if you really love something, and you're going there for the day and it's going to be a magic day, is it worth forking out for it?
I suppose, yes, if you can afford it. And that's the bit, is that it suddenly takes all this stuff out of the affordability of the everyday punter. Like,
Has golf ever been about that? Every day? Like, as far as accessible sports go, am I going to get in trouble now?
No, I think largely golf has been inaccessible. They're trying to do loads of work now to...
Let the women in now too?
Well, eventually, yeah.
That was slow coming,
yeah.
In fairness.
I mean, still some places that don't... we pretend to.
I just don't think of it as a every person sport.
No, and I suppose that's definitely true, right? I do think they are desperately trying to... It used to be far more working class. Like, you look at the footage from the 70s when there was thousands and thousands of people in Portmarnock
watching the Irish Open.
Yeah, Portmarnock, which didn't let the women until very recently. And like the tickets would
have
been...
Is that just because they didn't have Netflix and stuff like that?
Yeah, maybe. There was nothing else to do. That's why they were all watching snooker and darts. I think maybe if you tally this, so tickets for the Champions League final are £650. And that's the basic price. And tickets for the World Cup are absolutely insane. And it's going to be £100 to get the bus from wherever, from Penn Station to whatever the stadium is now called in Jersey, which used to be Giant Stadium.
Yeah.
It's normally $13. So
oh my God, the
price gouging around sport, I guess, is
it's a bit. Kind of an American thing, though. It has been up until relatively recently, hasn't it?
Yeah. Whatever they do, we copy because it's
because
it
works.
Same in concerts, though, right? I mean, that's a constant problem here for ticket pricing going up, and then bands themselves trying to control it with, you know, exclusive fan only pre release tickets and things like that. And they just always find their way into the hands of people who could profit more.
They do. They do. I mean, I can remember going to 1990. I was over in London for the summer, and I remember going to Chelsea's first home game, and I queued up. Bought a ticket there, and I think it was £6 to get into the ground, into the terrace, the shed. I didn't know what I was letting myself in for.
Oh, that was quite the experience.
Yeah, it was quite the experience.
Did you speak?
Yeah, actually. In my naivety, it's only kind of later I realised I heard all the stories. So yeah, no, it was grand. But like that would be unthinkable today.
Yeah, especially somewhere like Chelsea where they're hundreds of millions in debt. I do wonder, is it just that fans will pay because they love this thing? And it's the same with the music. Although it does seem that the Irish concert ticket prices are always the highest.
Oh, they are.
It's why
that's been covered over and over and over again. Yeah, like people fly elsewhere, like Germany, wherever, to go and see the same band for a fraction.
Yeah. Well, is it for a fraction?
Well, it's definitely less. It's an experience, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, you get your weekend away and so on. Would you pay £500 to go and see the Ryder Cup? Allison?
Absolutely not. When was it in? Was that 2006 when it was in the
K Club?
Yeah.
So that was, I was producing the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show at the time. So we were all around for that. And I got into it for about, you know, 3.5 weeks. And then I've since.
Did you get into it?
I've forgotten about it. Well.
Were you there cheering when, what was his name, raised a pint of Guinness? You
Darren Clarke?
Was it Darren Clarke?
Yeah.
I liked the experience.
And drank it in one go, didn't he?
And it was lashing the whole time.
Were you
it?
Broadcasting from there too? Like everybody was around then.
Yeah,
I remember because we were on a two-tiered thing and we were on the upper one. But no, and I mean, in fairness to like Rory, Shane, all those guys, like they are making it more, for me, the lay person who's not into it,
accessible.
More interesting. Yeah, they
interesting.
Are, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how things were back in the noughties. Today FM, top tier, News Talk, lower tier. Not anymore, though.
Not anymore. Look, I mean, 500, what were the tickets in Rome? They were about half that, weren't they?
I think
four years ago.
I think it was a 240 or 260 or something. It's just the Yanks were paying 650 equivalent, so...
At least when you're paying £650, it leads to a better class of person going to the event and
exactly.
being really respectful in how they...
It's a good point.
Does not work at all. Alison, give us your sinner of the week.
It's back to kind of money talk and spending, but I mean, healthcare providers, you know, your insurance, I've been with the same group for a very long time and I only recently was like, maybe I should start seeing what I can claim back. And there's online... access, an app that you can put all your stuff through, found all my receipts, called them up going, what's the latest I can go back to? And they, whatever it is, I think it was 2024. So I was like, this is amazing. Submitted like over $1,000 over the last, but this is for myself and my daughter. We're not sickly. It's just, I hadn't done it in a long time. And I was like, this is going to be amazing. €24 turned back up in my account.
I'm kind of amazed by this.
Now, optics, glasses, that request that my daughter had for an eye appointment that I ignored for quite some time, and she did need them. I did get a good chunk back from that. So I think we spent $350 and I got $130 back. So that's decent. But I pay quite a bit each month, and I pay more than families that are larger than us and with actual underlying health concerns that are, a continual thing that needs assessing. So I need to adult now, which is hard for me to do, and actually compare packages. Like if you said what's in your package, I'm like, I don't know. So I need to actually, maybe I'm the sinner.
You do, because
I do need to grow up.
I'm with Leia and I regularly get 50% off things. And
are you, your children, how many do you have again? They're all under
three,
the same policy.
Yeah, the eldest guy's, I think, on a different policy for a different, he's 24, he's on a different policy.
Yeah.
No, you need to shop around, like you really do.
So I'm actually going to change the sinner to me, because I've just for so long, I'm like, and every year the renewal comes around, I'll be like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. And they're like, well, you missed that window. You have to do it.
Okay, I'm now going to turn into interrogator here. Do you change your electricity, your gas every year?
That is a husband question. And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, good. Funny, my wife handles it. So yeah. I can be smug about it not having done anything myself.
Yeah. No, but I'm with the same healthcare provider like, for 20 years.
You save 20 or 30% by doing that.
No, and,
like, you save hundreds and hundreds of euro every year. Too.
Yeah. And even like with the Aircon phone watch, I was like, I'm just going to call them and go, is it too much? Now and like things do come down, and they're like, okay, well, we'll go back whatever it is, 10 euro a month, but it all adds up.
It does, it absolutely does.
Yeah,
and
so
your TV services
around
as well, definitely. Ger, does this resonate with you?
Yeah, but admin is such a pain in the ass, isn't it? It's like the hardest part of it. It's like, oh,
yeah,
and trying to get people on the phone, it takes hours and they never ring you back
in terms of changing or switching. Because actually, claiming. It could not be easier. You take a photograph on your phone.
I was so excited. I thought I was going to get way more back. I was like, I'm going to get at least half.
That is disappointing.
Oh, so disappointing.
You know you can get 20% back tax-wise.
Yes, yes. And so that's another adulting thing that I don't like doing.
And is that a husband job or are you?
I don't know if it's even a job in our household right now.
It has to be. Are you good? Are you a kind of consumer champion type person, Ger?
Sporadically, I like flame up and go on a crusade for 3 or 4 days. And then you need some little successes along the way to keep you going.
You do.
I do get overwhelmed by the administration of all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm the switcher in our house when it comes to the electricity and I look so after
you,
the TV.
You do it.
Yeah, yeah. But, God, it sucks.
It's tedious, yeah.
It is. It is tedious, but
it's worth it.
It absolutely has to be done. A couple of years ago, I was doing my tax return and I realised I'd been paying too much tax that year. And it wasn't a massive amount, but it was like, I think it was $3,000 or something. Oh, my. It was the sweetest.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. Like, if that had been spread over 12 months, would I? Well, clearly I didn't notice it. It was just such a magic thing. Like, so
it's like bigger than the fiver in your pocket. When you go get your winter clothes out and you realize there's money in the pocket.
That's a pretty good feeling as well,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Pretty good.
Hey, 20 quid. Wow. Okay, we're going to take a break. Ger and Alison are staying with us back in a moment on The Hard Shoulder. Okay, you're listening to The Hard Shoulder. Ger Gilroy, Alison Curtis are with us for Winners and Sinners. Alison, anything else to throw into the mix?
You guys are going to love this. I hope you are. Everybody likes pasta, right? It's
oh, yeah.
A universal thing. So the brand Bartella have linked up with Spotify, and they've created playlists for you to press play. Your water's boiling. You put your pasta in, you press play, and then when the playlist finishes, that's when your pasta is done.
No way.
So it must be quite
a long song, is it? Oh, it's a playlist. It's a number of songs.
So for Linguini, for example, right?
Yeah.
Starts off with The Smiths, Please, Please, Please.
It's going to be How Soon Is Now.
Yeah. 10 minutes long, and then there's an interval timer to go, you know, do you want it al dente? And then if you want it a little bit, which most people should anyway.
The Smiths, it was Please, Please?
So it goes into that, and then it goes into two Italian songs I can't pronounce. I'm not even going to try to. So it gets you to 7 minutes.
Okay.
And then a voice comes on and says, do you want to check your pasta or do you want it to cook for longer? And then if you say longer, please, the Beach Boys and God Only Knows plays. So when that finishes.
Oh, even if I wanted my pasta al dente, I'd have to play that song.
And there's a spaghetti, a penne. What's on penne list? See, a lot of them are very lovely Italian songs that I can't even attempt to pronounce, but you could enjoy.
And Ger speaks Italian. You can ask him.
Do you? And it will get you into the mood for
Junior Cert Italian about to be challenged here. 10 ragazzi, 10 girls, solo spento, I don't know, only something or other. There you go.
So there you go. So, but also if you're cooking, you'll be like, now I feel like I'm in Rome. I'm listening to my Spotify list. And I now know how exactly to cook my pasta for how long.
Have you used it?
Not yet, but I will tonight.
All right, what's on the what's on the
menu? Something with pasta for sure. Probably, I'm more of a spaghetti linguine kind of gal than a fusilli kind of gal.
Yeah, I have been known to put on opera when I'm cooking.
Really?
Pretentious, moi?
Yes, just a little.
And my wife is suitably scathing about it. She's like, you know, I make the dinner most days and you do it and it becomes a bloody performance.
But do you blare it? Like, do you put it all the speakers around the house, right? And then you stop off and do your taxidermy and then go back to cooking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jared, you are a really good cook. I can testify to that. Could you imagine yourself using this?
Yeah. I think anything that helps you to make sure that it's not burnt. I put a timer on the Alexa, but obviously using it to actually bring music and joy to the house.
It's a good idea.
Yes.
It's a good idea.
It is a really good idea. Jared, what else have you got for the mix?
Blue Light Season 3 on the RT player. I don't know if everybody's seen Blue Light Seasons 1 and 2, but it's sensational television.
Right.
Season 3 is excellent. It's like one of those kind of massive breakout hits, BBC. And again, it's made in Belfast. A lot of Irish actors in it who you'd recognise, the Irish production team. I think it just speaks to how well the island is doing when it comes to making TV that crosses outside, obviously. That's the main BBC cop show on a is it Sunday nights that it broadcasts. I can't record BBC on the Sky package that
I
have.
So it's have really, to wait for it to come really to the player. No, no match of the day. Oh, it's just like, so annoying.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's some kind of rights streaming route.
It's because it's streaming as opposed to the old box where you just, it was like, it's so it's streaming, so there's, they don't have the rights. And I can't record RTE either.
All right.
On my one.
Oh, oh really?
Yeah, it's really irritating.
Hence, you've got to wait for blue lights to come on the player, and it's really annoying because you're months and months behind everyone. Oh, did you see it? I was like, no, don't spoil us.
So I am a late recruit to blue lights. We are watching season one at the moment, and I just think it's absolutely brilliant.
It gets better and better.
I haven't even started it. So, okay, that's it.
It's so good. What I really love about it, and the person who recommended it to me said, what's brilliant about it, and he was so right, he said, you know, in most cop shows, like, they're kicking down the door and going, yeah, you know, and shoot, big shootout. He said, in this one, they're hiding behind the door, terrified, going, I need backup. So it's proper, realistic policing, basically.
Watch
show.
It. Yeah.
Have you met the police ombudswoman yet?
Yes. Who's quite kind of...
Do you remember her name?
Fastidious.
Geraldine Gilroy.
Is it?
One of my pals wrote it. So she's not a very, I'm like, could you not have made her a little bit, you know?
She's very fastidious and dots every I and crosses every T quite slowly and quite
boring
irritating.
As hell. Like, what's the story there?
Yeah. It is a proper good show, isn't it?
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm totally
biased.
Get
onto it. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
So season three, is it same kind of cast and characters mainly?
Yeah. I'm not going to give you any spoilers or anything, but it's the evolution of the main characters as the whole story goes along, and it's they've just reached this peak of storytelling, and the budgets get much better and bigger. You can see that as it goes along, and obviously,
but it's hard to make something like in that format unique because we've seen that kind of format over and over and over again since the beginning of time. So that's amazing.
I think that's exactly it. I think that's why people really liked it. Now, it's funny, after the first episode of the new season, there was one bad review.
Right.
And the community came out and went, shut up, let's wait and see what happens here. And season three has been an absolute triumph as well. And BAFTA nominations and all that kind
brilliant
of stuff too.
I must watch it.
I heard you talking about The Dry yesterday.
Do you know what? I haven't seen the first episode yet, but did you watch the first two series?
I watched the first two series, yeah, they're class.
Absolutely brilliant.
Again, it's just like this kind of peak of Irish TV programme making where you're not watching it going, this isn't bad for an Irish thing, you're just watching, this is
it's
good
just
TV.
A proper good show. Nancy Harris is the writer, and she just, have you seen The Dry?
No.
Dysfunctional family. The daughter is one of the daughters is an alcoholic, and she's looking for support from this dysfunctional family. And to put it mildly, it doesn't come. But it's you know, it's black comedy, but they're a dysfunctional family that ultimately love each other and stuff. Yeah. So it is kind of touching in some ways, but it's a brilliant cast as well. It's just it is so well done.
I'm watching the Zach Galifianakis gardening show, and it's only 16 minutes per episode, and it's hilarious.
I'm conscious this we're not talking about what to watch here, but I do have to mention Leonard and Hungry Paul.
I heard you mention it. Yes, what is it?
It is it's two kind of quirky friends, unusual friends, kind of but just two really charming fellas. And it's just their lives. I mean, not a huge amount happens. One of them falls in love with the girl from one of the actors from Derry Girls.
All right.
She's fantastic. She's radiant in it. She's absolutely brilliant in it. It's really sweet, really charming, really funny. I was saying this, I've said it a couple of times. It is the antidote to all the crap that is going on in the world at the moment. Pardon?
What are you watching it on?
It's on the player, RT player.
Great.
RT player is actually very good. Yeah. You know, once you get through the glitches and all that, there's some really good material on it.
Those are all good recommendations.
It's also glitching less.
Yeah. It's what?
It's glitching less.
It is. It is.
So Leonard and Hungry Paul.
Leonard and Hungry Paul.
On the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good recommendations.
And I think you're right about Irish drama being right up there now.
And like, so we had this guy earlier, he was talking about, you know, being at the very peak of horror. He was talking about The Commitments as his favourite Irish film. And there is a kind of a through line from that to The Tax Break to, you know, Michael Deeg saying we're going to help the film Definitely. Industry and it all finally comes good.
Okay, all right. Ger Gilroy, Alison Curtis, thanks to both of you. That is our lot for today. I'll be back. We'll be back from the US, actually, on Monday, from live from Washington at 4 o'clock your time, 11 o'clock my time. I have to get up very early. I know it's a really hard life. Have a great weekend. Do stay tuned for Off the Ball. Come on, the Bows. Tuarara, agus toga bogey.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.